أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Assalamu alaikum and welcome once again to Islam in Focus. This program is the fifth on Jesus, the beloved messenger of Allah. And today's topic will be the end of Jesus' ministry. I'm your host, Rashad Nimish, and here with me from St. Mary's University is Dr. Jamal Badawi. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Could you give our viewers a summary, please, of last week's program?
Certainly. Last week we continued to discuss some of the aspects about Jesus, peace be upon him, as mentioned in the Quran, especially some of the description of Jesus in terms of his purity and his closeness to Allah. And we indicated that these expressions, purity and closeness to Allah, has been used with respect to others, and particularly with respect to prophets. We gave an example of Prophet John the Baptist, who was called himself purity. We also examined his mission according to the Quran, and we said it was basically the same like all other prophets, the pure, unadulterated, monotheistic faith, and that he was a messenger of Allah and his servant. And we indicated also that like many other prophets also, he called for social justice and resistance to oppression, not to yield to oppression, as some people might have misunderstood his mission. We get examples also even from Matthew chapter 6, 10, 11, and 12. We also indicated that there is sufficient evidence with respect to the scope of the mission of Prophet Jesus, and that it was restricted to the Israelites. Just as the Quran mentioned that, it is also mentioned, for example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, and chapter 15, verse 24. We discussed briefly some of the miracles given to Prophet Jesus by the Creator, and we indicated that all of them were done by the permission and with the power of Allah, like all other prophets were. As far as revelation given to Jesus, we said that like many other prophets also, he received revelation from Allah. The Quran called it Al-Injil, which is a kind of scriptures or revelation given to him. And we indicated that this is not exactly the same as the four Gospels, because the four Gospels are biographies about him, after him. Whereas the Quran, when it speaks about Al-Injil, it speaks about what has been taught to Jesus to communicate to mankind. And towards the end of the program, we mentioned also the verse in the Quran, or the ayah, dealing with the end of his ministry on earth.
Now, could I ask you to recite that passage again, because it is crucial to our topic.
Okay, that appears in Surah number 4, ayah number 157 and 158. Let me read it from Yusuf Ali's translation. That they, means the Israelites, they said in boast, "We killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of God," or apostle of Allah. "But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjectures to follow. For a surety they killed him not. Nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power wise."
Now, this passage raises a number of questions, does it not? First of all, does that mean that the Quran negates, categorically, all the events related to the crucifixion as found in the Gospels?
Not really, not 100%, as some people might think. Even in such a controversial topic where there is a fundamental difference between what the Quran teaches and what the present sacred writing of Jews and Christians, or particularly Christians, I'm referring specifically to the New Testament, say, even in that issue, there are still some areas of similarity. Or at least, to put it more carefully, there are certain elements in the New Testament which are not inconsistent with what the Quran says, at least with respect to two areas. One is the opposition of the Israelites to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and the conspiracy to get him crucified or killed. A second basic area of similarity, and again I put that carefully, basic area of similarity, is that there is someone agreed to in both traditions. Someone was crucified and believed to be Jesus, believed by Jews who thought that they killed him, as the verse explains, or by his followers even, many the tradition that has come down to us. But the main difference really in the story of crucifixion relates essentially to the identity of who actually was the person who was crucified. As far as the evidence in the Quran about these areas of similarity, you might say, one is that in Surah number 3, in Ayah number 54, we find that the Quran specifically speaks about the Israelites planning or plotting. Let's say they plotted or planned, but Allah is the best to plan. Of course, plotting here means plotted to get Jesus crucified. So the question of conspiracy is there, the intention or plan to kill him or to get him killed. Secondly, in the ayah we just recited, that's in Surah 4, we find again that it simply says that the Israelites boasted that they killed Jesus, and of course they would not be in a position to boast or say we killed Jesus unless there seemed to be something that happened in front of them that led them to believe that they have already gotten rid of Jesus and he was already crucified. The word even that's used here, it was so made to appear to them, shubbiha lahum in Arabic. Again, it means that there have been some sort of illusion or something that happened somehow that led them to believe that they have already crucified Jesus. So even this area, there is some areas of similarity, but of course there is a basic area of difference, the identity, who died or who was actually killed or put on the cross.
Now that is one of some Christian writers suggest that the reason why Muslims do not accept the crucifixion story as narrated, for example, in the Gospels, is that they feel it is not, how shall I say, befitting for a prophet to be crucified. Now, how would you respond to that?
That explanation, common as it may be, is very erroneous. And I heard it several times from clergy, theologians, all the way from South Africa north to North America. I've seen it also in writing. And no matter how common it is very, very erroneous. To start with, the Muslim belief is not really founded or based on some sort of theorizing or giving some reasons to say no, it's not good for a prophet to be crucified, so we should reject this. The Muslim belief is based on the Quran, which is the word of Allah, and the word of Allah is definitely the truth, the ultimate truth, especially in matters which is called ghaib, unseen, the things that cannot be fully proven or disproved, something that goes back to the past or something that will happen in the future. It is based on the word of Allah. Now, there is absolutely no reference that I know of in the Quran which refers to this notion or idea that if a prophet is killed or crucified, crucifixion is just one mode of killing, really, that this is something to dishonor him. In fact, the evidence is contrary to that claim. The Quran clearly indicates that a person who dies or offers his life or is martyred for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah, in fact, that's the highest or ultimate honor that anyone can hope to attain. Indeed, in the Quran, we find documentation in numerous ayat or passages in the Quran about other prophets who were killed before, and it doesn't, present that as something that belittled their position. Several prophets have been mentioned in the Quran as being killed, especially when the Quran addresses the Israelites and what they did to their prophets. I think it's common knowledge that Prophet John the Baptist, who was a contemporary of Jesus, was killed. And again, the Quran honors him tremendously. So there's absolutely no basis, you know, for that particular assumption. I would suspect that some of the Christian writers or missionaries in particular who make that claim are simply projecting, not the Quran, but projecting their own background, because it is my understanding that in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Torah, or what is normally referred to as the Torah, it says there that a prophet who is a false prophet shall die, and somehow there is a connection between dishonor and the killing of the prophet. But as far as the Quran is concerned, there's absolutely no basis for that. That's not the reason. The reason is that Allah says that in the Quran, the word of the Creator is definitely the ultimate truth.
Maybe I'll ask you related questions this time. Now, some people state that the Quran teaches that another person was crucified as a substitute for Jesus. Is that true?
One, again, we have to be quite careful, because this is, I know it's a common statement also by missionaries, which is based, in fact, on interpretations by scholars rather than the text of the Quran itself. I mean, if a person says that some Muslims or some interpreters give this as an explanation, fine, but sometimes it is written in such a way as if this is the Muslim belief, something that is based on the Quran, there is no other possible explanation. To start with, nowhere in the Quran, for example, does it say that. Does it say, for example, explicitly and clearly that no, Jesus was not killed or crucified, but another person, or give a name or something like that and say another person was substituted or, you know, replaced Jesus on the cross? There's no such thing. In fact, if you refer back to the passage or verse that you recited earlier, that's 4:157-158, the original Arabic word says shubbiha lahum. Shubbiha lahum, which means it's so made to appear to them, or it so appeared to them, could be interpreted, of course. One possible valid interpretation is that maybe someone else other than Jesus was crucified, and people around thought that actually it was Jesus, not that other person. It is a possibility, but it's not the only one. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. In other words, the text of the Quran as the specific word of Allah as revealed to the last prophet is one thing, and the interpretation of others, whether they are non-Muslims or even Muslims for that matter, is something else. We cannot equate them. The phraseology of the verse itself, the wording of the verse, could mean substitution also by a human, could be substitution by an angel, or it could even refer to some other miracle that we don't fully know or understand, which also gave the same kind of impression that it was Christ who died on the cross, and that the ultimate point made is that Allah saved him from the cross in the last moment. So it is one interpretation, but we can say it is the what the Quran says.
Sorry. But the common reaction to this explanation is that there is unanimity, that it was Jesus was crucified, and that only the Quran is different. Now, maybe I can ask you to comment on that.
Okay, to start with, and I have to be quite honest and frank on it, the Quran to the Muslim is the word of Allah. It is the last revelation. Being the word of Allah, it has intrinsic truth in itself. It possesses that truth. Because the information is coming from someone who does not make errors, does not get misled by any illusion, the one who knows everything, the Creator himself. And as such, it must be true. Secondly, it should be made clear also that the Quran and the truth in the Quran being the word of Allah does not need any confirmation by any human being, theologian, historian, or otherwise, because it's just like saying some human being is confirming the word of his creator. That's the reverse logic for the Muslim. Another point is that what Allah says as the truth revealed to us is not contingent on what people say, nor is it contingent on the presence or absence of unanimity. Even if people are unanimous in one respect or the other, and Allah says something, even all the unanimous opinion, if it existed even, could be wrong because the word of Allah cannot be erroneous. Having indicated this frame of reference from the Quranic standpoint, let me add one thing that might sound quite surprising to many, even to many of our Christian brethren. It is not true historically that there have been unanimity that it was Jesus Christ who died on the cross. I know some people might be hearing that for the first time.
That's interesting.
Yes, I give you a reference to that. George Sales, a Christian writer, theologian, and missionary himself, Christian missionary, in his introduction to the translation of the Quran, he made a translation sometimes back, and he mentioned there that some of the early Christian sects believed actually that it was not Jesus who was crucified. And he gave several names of sects, including, for example, the Corinthians and Basilidans. Basilidans, actually it starts with B. Basilidans and Corinthians and others. While I understand that many of those sects were regarded at a later time as heretical, we all realize historically that there was a certain time in the history of the development of the Christian thought or Christian belief where any belief or even report, even historical report, that seemed to differ with the dogmas that the official church enunciated and the clergy upheld was regarded as heretical and was punished very severely. And as you know from history, sometimes even death was the penalty for deviating from the acceptable interpretation given by the official church. So what I'm saying here is that while even if unanimity existed, it does not negate the ultimate truth revealed by Allah, but even then, that unanimity is not true. Historically, it's not.
Is there any trace beyond early Christianity of those who held that Jesus was not crucified?
Yes, indeed. It continued. In the 16th century, for example, 16th or 17th century, in Austria, a gospel was discovered, an old gospel attributed to Saint Barnabas, who was one of the close associates of Jesus, and he's spoken of very highly, especially in the book of Acts, attributed to him. I'm just not saying it is right or wrong, I'm just simply attributed to Saint Barnabas. Even though I do realize that this is not one of the canonized gospels, even though I know it has been condemned by the church as fabrication or apocrypha at best, but it's interesting anyway that it was discovered by Christian in a Christian country in a Christian language. So the idea of someone else, you know, finding some or writing such an old document and putting there among Christians is rather unlikely. But in any case, we're not getting into the merits or demerits of the Gospel of Barnabas. All I'm saying that in that Gospel also, it indicates, even though it gives the same basic story of Jesus, but one of the fundamental differences from the canonized Gospels that it says that it was not Jesus who was crucified. In addition to this, something, if we take something even more recent, comparatively, the Naga Hammadi scrolls, which were discovered in Egypt in the early 40s and was made available for the first time in English in 1977, again indicate that it was not Jesus who was crucified. And these are very, very old scrolls, and some scholars say that they might be as old, or some even might be older than the canonized gospel that we have today. A mention of that of those scrolls was made in a very interesting book, which also presents an alternative explanation, but basically agreeing that it was not Jesus who was crucified. It is a book that perhaps has come up relatively recently and may not be known to many of the viewers. It was written by Michael Baigent. It's B-A-I-G-E-N-T. Richard Lee and Henry Lincoln, and the title of the book is Holy Blood, Holy Grail, G-R-A-I-L, was published in 1982. So what I'm saying here is that even not only the early Christianity, but even in later times and comparatively very recently with additional discoveries, It is far from unanimous, really, to say that the crucifixion of Jesus, the typical story of crucifixion and resurrection after 3 days, is really the ultimate agreement among all Christians. However, since our focus so far has been up to this point, we can get into some other areas, but so far we have been focusing more on what the Quran, the word of Allah, says. We can perhaps come back to this issue of crucifixion in the light of the New Testament, in the light of the Old Testament prophecies that some present as an argument to support that this actually was bound to happen. But in brief, what I'm saying basically is that the common notion that Muslims only are the ones who reject or deny that Jesus was put onto the cross is not true at all. Factually, it is not true.
Now, here's an interesting claim by some, that they claim that Jesus predicted both his crucifixion and his resurrection, and this according to the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there any evidence for that claim?
That's not true to start with. But again, instead of just outside dismissal of the claim, I think we should look into the basis that sometimes they present as an argument for this. In referring to Jesus, the Quran quotes him as saying, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. That's in Surah number 19, Maryam or Mary. That is, peace be upon me, he says, the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I come back to life or resurrect again. And some people have been tempted, without further careful study of the Quran, to say, look, you know, here is Jesus, even in the very early days, immediately after his birth, he's talking about his day of birth, his death, and resurrection. And they say death here means death on the cross, resurrection after 3 days. But I think that's far from appropriate interpretation, because if the verse actually said, and when I die on the cross and when I resurrect after 3 days, nobody can argue that would be a conclusive indication that this actually is indeed a prediction or prophecy of what is being described in the canonized Gospels. Furthermore, to say that it could mean that also is erroneous, because this ayah has to be interpreted also within the context of the Quran, within the context of the other ayah that we just cited early in the program, in Surah 4, ayah 157 and 158, which says categorically and clearly and in no uncertain terms, nothing that you can interpret this way or that way. They killed him not, nor did they crucify him. So how could it be interpreted to refer to the support of a story which is rejected already elsewhere in the Quran? In addition to this, what actually was quoted on the tongue of Jesus, peace be upon him, are three stages which apply to every human being. We, all of us, pass through the three stages: birth, death, and all of us, of course, will be resurrected in the day of judgment. So that applies to everybody. So when that or this particular passage is put into the proper context of the Quran, we find that it applies to Jesus, peace be upon him, it applies to all other prophets, it applies to you and me, all human beings. And the Quran is quite clear, for example, in Surah 55, known as Ar-Rahman, that every soul will have the taste of death. Everybody will have the taste of death. And the Quran is replete with passages that shows that all of us again will be resurrected in the day of judgment.
Dr. Jamal, was that expression about Jesus, in other words, about the death and the resurrection, used in the Quran in reference to any other person?
Well, yes, it was. The particular quotation that we had, for example, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ peace be upon me, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I come back to life, almost identically was used. In fact, it's exactly the same word, except mm-hmm. that instead of saying peace be upon me, it says peace be upon him, and it speaks about John the Baptist. And it's in the same vein also, that it says about John the Baptist, peace be upon him, the day he was born, the day he dies and the day he comes back to life again, exactly the same. So there's no uniqueness really in that respect, and probably it refers to the common experience of every human being, and above all, Jesus, peace be upon him, was a human being, a great human being, a holy person, but a human being after all.
Are there any other passages in the Quran which refers to the death of Jesus?
There are some passages also that has been again interpreted sometimes out of context, you know, to refer to the crucifixion, but in fact it doesn't. But since again the question came up, perhaps we should all present these verses quite clearly, particularly two of them. The first one actually represent a promise by Allah to save Jesus or to recall him. That appears in Surah number 3, that is in passages 54 and 55. These are quite crucial, so maybe I'll just try to read them, inshallah, and give the translation. The first, okay, 354 will be here. Yeah. And the unbelievers plotted and planned, and God too planned. And the best of planners is God, or Allah. And then in passage 55, it says, behold, Allah said, O Jesus, I will take thee. The original Arabic word, mutawassika, and we'll come to the term later. I will take thee, or I will recall thee. That could be another translation that some people use. I will take thee, and raise you to myself, and clear you of the falsehoods, that is, of those who blaspheme. And then it goes on. So here we find a term, mutawafika in Arabic, which sometimes is translated as, you know, calling you or taking you. And some people said, all right, that could possibly refer to death. That's one. The second related passage that is usually referred to is in Surah number 5. In passage 120, again it reads in the translation, never said I to them, Jesus says, that is describing the scene in the Day of Judgment, when God questions him, Allah questions him, did you tell people to worship me and so on. Never said I to them, that Jesus would say, except that what you did command me, that is worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt among them. But when you did take me up, tawassaytani, again the same root, tawassaytani, when you did take me up or recalled me, you was the watcher over them, and you are a witness to all things. Now, the most crucial term used in both of these verses, tawaffaytani and mutawaffika, come from a root, waffa, which has two meanings. One is a lexical meaning, as Mawlana Maududi explains. A lexical meaning means to fulfill, to give or receive, to take or receive, to receive you. And the Quran in numerous verses also use the derivatives from that root to mean to fulfill something, to complete something, which could mean when God told Jesus, I'm going to complete or finish your mission or recall you. But the other meaning, which is more metaphoric meaning, is to take you in a sense of to take your soul or causing you to die. Because of the difference of opinion or the difference in the linguistic meaning, the variety of ways in which the word can be taken, we find that many Muslim interpreters have differed as to what exactly it means, and how could it be explained? Perhaps when you have another opportunity, you could elaborate on that a little bit.
And we have run out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. And I thank all of you for joining us here in Islam in Focus. If you have any questions, any comments, please write to us. Our address and our phone number will be appearing on your screen. From all of us, assalamu alaikum. Hope to see you here next week.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.